I learned it's about your attitude, right? If you haven't had to experience tough times and, you know, as a kid or as an adult and stuff, and then suddenly this is thrust upon you and you don't know how to process these things, you could become a real mean cuss without even knowing it. And then you go out in your daily life and you don't even realize you're being a fucking asshole, but you're a fucking asshole. Now it's news to you. You're surprised by it because you've never really been an asshole, but this is how you process the stress, the anxiety, et cetera. So this is what we're seeing. I mean, social media was a bad place to begin with, but now this is what we're seeing. People are lashing out, and this is a byproduct of this rat trap they've put us all in. I'm calling it a rat trap or a maze, like a gerbil maze, where they can watch us and study us for their next little scheme. But people are getting mad, and they're lashing out, and because they haven't had to deal with tough times. Does that make any sense?
It makes a world of sense, because some of the people we experience are the people that complain over the littlest things that are so unimportant. And, you know, I think it's a blessing that I've known so many people in my life working with the public and medical field and real estate. And you deal with nothing but the public. But with that comes a lot of people's stories and a lot of heartache and hardships that I have a lot of empathy for. And the best stories are the people that had it the roughest, like the elderly people that have it the hardest. They are they're the sweetest, kindest, nicest. They have nothing. And they're just lovely people. So when I look to that type of person and go, well, here you are in the lunch meat line at the supermarket, and you're just bitching because they're not moving fast enough. See, those little things can set me off.
People are going to have to adjust their expectations.
Right.
And
treat people with dignity and respect. And that, the way people will talk to people, and you go, okay, most places are having shortages of employees right now. Do you really want to scream at the lunch meat lady that could just say to her boss, you know what, I'm done here, goodbye. Now they're down another employee. So guess who suffers? You do. Because the next time you go in, they're going to be short-staffed. There's nobody stocking shelves.
If you want to scream at somebody, there's a whole lot of
don't
jackasses.
Even scream at the manager.
A whole lot of jackasses in Washington, D.C. you can scream at.
Right, because that's correct.
This is where we're at, correct. In your state houses, et cetera.
Right. Leave these people alone. They're showing up. I mean, what a spit in the face that everybody in 2020 was an essential worker. Your dollar store cashier was essential. Okay. Your nurses were essential. Oh, but this year they're not.
They're essentially out of a job this year. That's
they're essentially out of a job. Exactly.
It's really insane in many different ways. But you know, you get what you give. I mean, I try to have this conversation with my kids, right? If you go out and you're a dick, you're going to get it back. But if I've taught many young journalists this too, and actually way more folks in Intel, you get a lot more with honey than you do with vinegar. I mean, it's night and day. You go out on the street with a young guy back in the day in Intel, and I'd say, yay, all right. This is what we want to get out of this next whoever we talk to in this group of people we're going into. You take a crack at it. He goes in, throws his shield down, starts muscling people around. You know what I mean? Scaring people, freaking people out, trying to use the stick. I'm behind using the carrot. Yo, what's going on, man? What the fuck's happening out here? You guys playing some basketball? I start shooting hoops. They're like, you know, and you're talking to people. Yeah, looking for this cat. I don't know, man. And the young guy almost gets his ass whooped, you know, like the street posse is like the word's out on the street that there's a rat, you know what I mean? So he's almost getting his ass whooped And I grabbed him. I said, let's roll. We got what we needed. He's like, what are you talking about? I didn't get anything. I said, oh, I know you didn't get anything. I was using you as a distraction. but I mean, you get it's what true. You give. You get what you give. You
it's know? True. It is. And I've always, like, whenever I go places, I'm pretty quiet. I'm always observing, you know. And, you know, when you feel for people, you know, you see a lot of elderly people that have to work to make ends meet or pay for their medicines or whatever. And I don't care that you're having a bad day. Those people do not deserve, just because, you know, you want to lash out over nonsense, they don't deserve that. They're doing the best they can, and it's just some people just think they could talk to people any way they want, and you know, that's not okay with me. And when you know that there are people, but when you're lucky enough to meet people that have had such major suffering, losing children, whatever illnesses, poor, dirt poor. But they're the happiest people you meet. Go up on their front porch and they'll offer you a nice tea.
Right.
Okay. They're the people that you say, God bless, that you're happy. And the person that probably has much more than you, that I probably encountered a half an hour ago that was just a nasty bastard, those things do affect you throughout the day. Like, I'm real big why I didn't like the mask. Because I'm real big at smiling at people when I go into a store and go, I'm used to seeing faces. And you know, when you want to smile at people, because you can actually see when you smile at someone that may be having a bad day. And that does make a difference. But when you started masking society, you're missing out. You have to understand many, like, especially where I live, there's a lot of retirees. There's a lot of widowers. There's a lot of widows. When they go out to the supermarket, the people they're seeing in that supermarket is the only interaction they're getting.
I know. That's it.
I live in a place where people do talk to each other, like the cashiers are talking, or if you're standing up an aisle, somebody will say, hey, have you ever tried this brand of blah, blah, blah before? And people will talk. Now, I know in other states and stuff, especially in metropolitans, that doesn't happen much at all. You know, most people are just grunting and growling. But this is what they want to take away from us. And sometimes after a bad day, just somebody smiling at you could make a difference. I know it does with me. I know I had many bad days working in real estate where you just want to, like, blow your brains out. And maybe it just takes that one person, the way they look at you or smile at you, that just diffuses you, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Well, it depends who's smiling at you. If Bill Clinton's smiling at you, bro. You probably want to, like, steer clear.
like I will say, like, today, like, the calmer you were, I think you can notice with the angrier I got. Your calming tone was just setting me off
more. Yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah, I had to go Cheech and Chong mode. You know, just like
you were super calm, back. And I was, you were just too calm for me. See, I needed somebody to take the ride with me, and you weren't taking it. And
yeah,
just
well, like, that comes from going into, like, riot situations and just chilling people out. Hey, man, everything's cool. Relax. We'll work it out. You know, to try to be the mediator.
I told you it was rare. I told you it was rare, and it just takes a few ugly people to see how the way they talk to each other. That's just sickening, and you know, just sets you off. And
well,
no, it's rough. It's rough out there
on this front. And we don't have to go much longer because, you know, we've done so much in the last couple of weeks, you know, 2-3 hour shows. It's been mind boggling, the stuff to talk about. But question on my mind, other folks perhaps may not have considered this, but I'm there mentally. How bad does this fucking get? How far down from a leader in the world are we going to slip toward a third world country? I'm starting to think about it. They could get pretty damn bad. Have you thought about that at all?
Oh, no. I say it every day.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty much there.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty much there. It's going to get worse. It is going to get worse. you know, I talk to some people where, like you were saying, how they get down and everything or what have you. You've got to have the, we have to fight enough for whatever's left. We still need to have that fight in us. You know, I'm not throwing in the towel. I just know I don't have the power to stop the elite, the global elite. I don't have that power. You don't have that power. As a the only way as a collective we have
power. We don't
power
have it. Yeah, we don't have that power as individuals.
But if not as individuals, but if we did have major trucking strikes and if we got in front of them, of their timeline, I think we can stall some progress pretty good and maybe turn things around. Do I think we're ever going to have a pure DC? No, not unless some meteor hits DC. But everybody that's in charge of ruling this country, they're hand-selected. I don't even want to even talk about what a 2024 will look like because it's a joke. Elections are jokes.
2024. I'm worried about September.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So
2024.
So I don't know when we're ever going to have true, real leadership ever. That's a major concern. You have a ship with no captain. Okay. So, and we don't know what the next captain's going to be. You know, what's their course of action? Where are they taking us? We don't know. I just know as a collective, we have the power to stop the wheels of progress on certain things. Not everything. Not unless a meteor takes out the elitist satellites that run the new fourth industrial revolution and AI and, you know, all of that. But we know where they're driving us. They're driving us to digital currency and da da da. They're reinventing the wheel in front of our eyes. It used to be behind the scenes, and now it's in front of our eyes.
They don't even bother.
They don't even bother. You could find anything you want. You could find it. You could go back decades and find what they're doing. But as for it being a third world country, well, it is. When you can obtain medical care and you can obtain food or furniture or your necessities, you know, will they enact cyber polygon on us and start messing with our grids this winter and freeze us out? That's a possibility.
Well, you're not going to get frozen out down there. My ass will get frozen out, but you won't.
No, I mean, it's not long-term, but I mean, I've seen 20-degree weather. It might be for, you know, two nights, but it's, yeah, 20 not, degree. Yeah.
No, but you bring up a good point. What's next? What's the next shoe to fall? That's what I'm starting to think about down the road because, you know, I have to be honest with you, a lot of this stuff, we're so far, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back. I'm just saying we're so far out of in front of everybody when it comes to this COVID stuff, and we have been, that I'm starting to think even further down the road. What's going to happen after the fifth jab? What's going to happen after the blob, after they unveil the blob that's going to kill us all? Obviously, that is a concern. They understand that there's going to be, I think, based on our FDA folks and other folks that we've used for sourcing on Hotwire, et cetera, they understand something bad is mm-hmm. happening. There is an iceberg coming. And they're trying mm-hmm. to dance around it and rename the iceberg. But then what? Then what's going to happen? How bad is it going to get? In other words, so we can try to stay in front. You're starting to see, as we talked about in the last couple of weeks, we said that there would be problems in the stock market. Well, there's problems in the stock market now. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. when you know, you have all these things happening. It's almost overwhelming on your best day to try to keep up with all this stuff and try to stay ahead of it is nearly impossible without the right people. And I'm not going to use this as a plug for me or anything else. I'm just saying it's nearly fucking impossible to stay ahead of this. And these are the challenges we have on top of everything else with our families and our kids and grandkids and providing for them, charting a course for them in the future. I mean, it is something. And therein lies the depression, the anxiety, people who are down, mm-hmm. and people who are may have never been this low before in their lives. And you have to sit there and think, is this what, you know, and then you can understand. You can understand when you see, oh, young kids now are having thoughts of suicide. Even the ones who haven't tried it are having thoughts. You know, 20% of the young kids are saying, huh, suicide could be a good option. What the hell? How do we get here? You know?
That's sad that a parent really, again, I feel for these people. It depends on your life, if you're working or what have you. The way I can only go by me and what I would do and what I've done in the past. The parent's job is to shield the children from all of it. Like they don't, like when we went through COVID last year, the children were unaffected. They had no idea what was going on out there because we lived life normally. You know, we went to the places, we did things. All right. Yes. They saw people in masks here and there, but we tried to do things outdoorsy. You know, they did the hiking and the beach and all these different things. Skateboarding, you know, all the things kids do, you make their life as normal as possible. But I do know that there are people who have scared their children to death that are petrified of this germ. So they're the children you have to worry about that their parents already made them into germaphobes. And that's very scary because then you don't know. These children are now afraid of everything. So it's all how the parent handles it. Like the child should never know that a family's going through a hardship or what have you. You make things fun. You just shield them from it. You've got to protect their innocence. Like I told my son, on a timeline of life, if you stretched your arms out on a timeline of life, let's say 0 to 90, whatever. And you put your two little fingers together on one end of it. That's your childhood. It's a blink. Your entire life is lived as an adult. So when you have children, that little teeny morsel on that timeline has got to be cherished, has got to be protected.
So you, got a whole you, life. You went and done it. Now you depressed me.
I'm sorry.
No, it's so true. I mean, you know, and I said, my wife was saying the other day, what are you doing? You're going outside, you're making phone calls outside. You know, she's like, who are you talking to? I said, I'm not really talking to anybody. I'm talking to this guy. I'm talking to Marie. I'm talking to these dudes from college. Why are you doing it outside? I said, because I've never really sat outside and just looked around and talked on the phone. It's been nice. I'm always stuffed in an office. I've never taken the time to look around. I'm always fucking going balls of the wall. And so I said to her, that's what I said. I said, you know, it's kind of nice around here this time of year. So that's why I'm sitting down. And she said, oh, okay. You know, she probably thinks it's I'm beautiful. Losing my mind.
No, it's true. And because you know why? You are internally sensing that they're going after natural life. With everything technology based, and transhumanism is real. They are merging man and machine. We know this. They're going after natural life. Look what they've done to the food. They've destroyed crops and food and GMOs and you know the nature you and I knew as children. The food does not even taste. You bite into a peach today. It does not taste like a peach you and I would have pulled off a tree in the 1960s, 70s.
Everything is different. It's really something else. Yeah.
Right. And like I said, that's what I said. You know, I try to just, you know, cherish the children, leave them alone. They, as we, live most of our lives as adults. And as adults, you have good times and bad times and disappointments and, you know, you have the roller coaster of life. Nobody has a perfect life. But I think your childhood should be preserved as best it can. And it's hard work. It is hard work, but it's rewarding work. You know, it's good for you. It's good for me as an adult when I know I have to switch gears, you know, at 3:30 when kids come in and I've got to switch gears and go into normal mode. It's good for me. It takes my focus off of things until they go home. Well, then I'm back to digging and when I'm digging in, talking to all the people I talk to. But they wouldn't know it. They don't know anything, you know. And, you know, you don't go, oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, 9/11 just passed.
Yeah.
My daughter was in kindergarten. My son was in fourth grade. Do they remember that vividly? Yes. Because they remember running, you know, going to the school and, you know, crazy. Because remember, we were in Philly. They were like, you know, the Federal Reserve, the this, the that. You know, we were getting all kind of crazy stories coming out. And they remember that. They remember a week of not leaving the house, a week of people crying all around them. They remember that. The very first day that the world turned back on, we went to McDonald's for breakfast. It was like a morgue in there. People were moving so slow. Not a sound. Nobody. I mean, people were still zombified.
Yeah, they were numb.
And depressed.
Numb time.
Right. But they remember that. Now, there's other things I'll mention about their childhood. When, you know, and they go, I don't remember that. But that was traumatizing. You go to a school and pull kids out of school and, you know, you're hearing all over the television that we're being attacked, and that stays with them.
It stayed with many kids, but it all depends on how you handled it with them, you know?
Right. And like I would put them in the back, like we had a recreation room, and I was making them watch their shows, like, you know, their Nickelodeons or whatever the heck was on at the time. But in the living room, of course, this is on, and you had neighbors in and out. Do you remember when the skies went quiet? No, but like it was the most eeriest thing to be outside and no planes flying overhead. It was like the world shut off. So, yeah, they knew, you protect them as much as you can, but they knew that it was something horrible, and that stayed with them.
It's been you look back 20 years and you're saying, what exactly did happen 20 years ago? And is it related to what's happening now? And you start to think, maybe these people who are in charge of us aren't the best people.
No, they're not. No, they're evil.
I'm being nice here. I'm trying to be nice, right? Because it's Friday.
I'm not.
But
I'm not. Don't get me fired up, Mike. I don't want to calm down for you.
There's only so much anger that can go around.
I mean, not really. There's a lot. There's a lot of anger. But that's again. I try to pull the good out of the bad. The good is the many parents that discovered homeschooling. I'm happy about that. The people that are now hammering their doctors and trying to take control of their lives and health, I'm happy about that. The people that are now aware that their entire government is full of shit and always has been, I'm grateful for those people who are now totally woke, that stop talking about parties. Parties do not matter. They're nothing. It's fake. They're money raising, money laundering operations. Okay? The loser is always the biggest winner because they get to make the most money over the next course of the 4 years. Okay? Beneficial to lose.
There's big money in losing.
Big money in losing.
The media. I mean,
More money in losing.
I think there's more money for Fox News and stuff since Biden was elected as opposed to Trump. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, look at the amount of money that the mainstream media raked in when Trump was president, of course. It's a game. We just don't look at it as that, or many people don't look at it as that, the media doesn't care who wins. They were in many cases.
Oh, no,
they're going to make their money. They're going to figure out how to make
the media,
their money.
The media is praying you lose because they've got 4 to 8 years to run on your misery.
Yeah. And there's lot of misery.
Sean Hannity got rich off of telling conservatives what they wanted to hear for 8 years. And because you're mad and you want to turn on that radio and you want to hear that person.
You want to hear the game of these folks. I figured it out a long time ago. They tell you exactly the thoughts that you have to make you feel warm and fuzzy about the fact that you're so smart and you were right the whole time. And then it turns out down the road, you were both wrong. And then my whole point is I could do that too. I mean, Jesus Christ, I went to Manipulation University working for the government. I can manipulate people if I wanted to. I really could. And I'd be one of the best. I was one of the best. And when I was a journalist, I was one of the best. That's why they came looking for me and say, hey, kid, what are you doing here? You come work for us. You're spinning your wheels in this journalism thing. See the world, make money. You know, maybe you can teach us a few things. We'll teach you a few things, right? I could do that. But what the fuck's the point? Where does it leave you? Where does it leave you? Like right now, right? When people need some intel to help carry them, help guide them and things. And I need it too. And we need it too, right? So we look to people who are solid and who can give us that guidance. We can't look to the media for that. That's not even their game. Their game is
If you are willingly in media and you're willingly in media and you are willingly lying, which they do, just to be in DC and to be in media, you just don't have a moral compass. There's no way you have a moral compass. And that's what we have. We have these people that have no problem lying to the public.
They're professionals. They do it. They're professionals.
They're professionals. Like when Sean Hannity's telling you for 8 years what you want to hear, and they want to have the TikTok people on and blah, 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 blah. He knows the score. He knows what's going on. Cha-ching, cha-ching. No problem.
Look at his left lapel. He's wearing...
His false outrage.
He's wearing a pin. False outrage. The Central Intelligence Agency. Why?
And
why
you're right,
what
you said about him the other night, that all of these shows are like an hour and a half long and the rest of them's freaking commercials.
Like, well, he does 3 hours of radio and it's probably an hour and 20 of content.
That's correct. You're absolutely right. As many of these terrestrial radio shows are, they're very, you're not getting a lot of content. No way. And if they have a guest on, what are you getting? 3 minutes to 7 minutes?
You have about,
I mean, I know people.
45
I know people
seconds
that
on TV to make your case if you're a guest. 45
exactly.
seconds.
Exactly. I know many people that have been on Fox News, had the car pick them up, bring them there, get all gussied up, you know, blah, blah, blah. They put you in the green room. You're on for like 3 minutes. That's your whole thing.
And you can't leave a good voicemail message, a good voicemail greeting in 30 seconds, and you have about 45 seconds on national TV. So good luck with that.
Right. Right, so you have people just going,
just insane. And if you fumble or stumble, you look like a fucking dummy.
You're done.
You're done. Yeah.
And that's the other thing I was laughing at when you were talking about the pre-interviews and the canned questions. That is very true. And I know that for a fact as well. But what I used to love about live radio, like when we had you on Long Island Radio?
Yeah.
There were no prepared questions.
No.
That was all live.
Working with that on that.
Yeah. But yes.
Yeah.
And that's all I've ever known is walking without a net. And some people that I've helped over the last, 4 years that would appear on many different news channels, and they would send me the question that they would have to answer. I'm like, are you serious? Like,
yeah, they're serious.
They're serious.
That's the way
you
it
can
is.
Only talk about these three topics. You can only do this. You know, they don't want, no, that's not organic. When they're interviewing somebody on any of these news channels, it's not organic. It's
you saw what happened on Newsmax today.